That's a great question.
Here I am as Miss Kentucky, competed in Miss America, and it's been really an amazing journey.
So in Lexington in particular, we mostly resettle Congolese, and we have the largest population of Congolese within Kentucky.
And he said to me, science is cool, learning is fun. That's what we do.
All the schools in Kentucky presenting a Power Word presentation, which talks about verbal bullying, negative perceptions in hip-hop, how to challenge our peers when they use negative words. Words. At the end of the day, words do matter, and it's a catalyst for action.
That's a great question. That's a powerful question. That's a question that I hope that all of us will continue to ponder on.
We'll be getting back out to playing live, but some places that I do like playing here in Lexington.
I tend to focus on local issues, local people, you know, local being Kentucky.
So we've got these various battles raging between the Attorney General and the governor, and in the background is the former governor.
This is a myth that is really common.
Mountain Dew is not a contraceptive.
Probably is going to cause a pretty bad yeast infection.
An extreme yeast infection.
If you can't deep fry it, spray paint it gold.
Now, will the animal send you like a postcard as a thank you with a little paw print on it?
Who's at fault more, men or women?
The vetting process. Did you already ask that? Okay.
It works. Grand piano.
If it's Friday and you're saving up for your Tax Slayer Bowl tickets, then it's Bluegrass Bios on WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio. I am in studio with Benjamin Wolf.
Hey, Kyle.
I am Kyle Bigelow. In studio is going to be our first guest, Sophia Noir.
Yeah, man.
She's the founder and director of Arabesque World Dance on Chair Street. But to start off, did you guys watch that game?
Well, we got a bunch of games. So I imagine you're referring to the Kentucky-Louisville game.
That's right. Are you a football fan, Sophia?
Not too much, no. I follow who's won, but I don't usually watch.
But if somebody comes along and says, you know, I've got two tickets on the 50-yard line for the Kentucky-Louisville game.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, we would go. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it was one of the most impressive finishes in school history, which is why I bring it up. And probably will add a few years on to a flailing coach's contract.
We were really hard on Stoops after the Southern Miss loss way back in week one.
Deservedly.
Yes, really? And deservedly so. And could you imagine, the ball bounces a couple of different ways, and we are, what, 9-3? I mean, as it is,
yeah,
this equals.
That's a terrible way to think of it, because the ball bounces a couple of different ways, and they're not bowl eligible, too.
Well, it's piling up. Our luck is piling up. Our good luck is piling up, what I'm saying.
Where is that in the stat sheet?
I'm keeping it. I've got it at home.
Okay,
it's friend. In Excel.
They're projected right now, or they're in a pool to potentially go to the Tax Slayer, which I did not know was still a company. .com bowl in Jacksonville, Florida, on New Year's Eve. So for all,
oh, you mean not the Gaylord Hotel, whatever it is,
yes,
bowl
not,
in
not,
Nashville that we always go to.
No, not the Lexington Community Radio Bowl that we do in the parking lot. No, it's that's
well, we've just got 50 yards. I mean, you run all the way to the end, and you got to come back and turn around.
That's right. Yeah, it's the Tax Shelter Bowl or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's on the list. Sophia is going to be talking to us about her event next Friday, Shimmy at Parlay Social. It's a fundraiser. It's a free entry event for to support the Nest Lexington, a women's and children's and families crisis center. So we'll break all that down in just a little bit. And then the second hour, which is split in two as usual, Ben will stay with you and Chuck C will come into studio. They will have on Janie Welker, the curator of collections and exhibitions at the UK Art Museum. She'll be on at 1.
Cool.
And then Griffin Van Meter, the president of the No Lie Community Development Corps. I think they're involved. They've got a bunch of different irons in the fire, I think.
I would imagine, yeah.
Including the night market.
Oh, yeah, very good.
That we participate in.
Well, that reminds me, speaking of participation, we're Lexington Community Radio is part of the Good Giving Guide Challenge this year.
Sure.
You can look them up. We've got links. We got Facebook links. We got all sorts of links.
Do you have any of them?
On me?
Uh-huh.
No, not on me.
All right, nice work.
Again, they're at home. next to my spreadsheets.
If you want to tweet the show, you can do so at Bluegrass Bios.
And we're on iTunes.
That's right.
Yay.
Sophia, how have you been? Sophia's a friend of the show.
Absolutely.
At this point.
I am. I'm almost family now.
close to a free sub. We'll get you that.
What have you been up to since the last time we spoke to you?
Dancing like a mad woman, that's for sure. I've been doing some traveling. I have this great thing that I've gotten started on. I am going to be in a syndicated TV show.
What?
Yeah. It's supposed to show in Indian Egypt first, though. So.
Okay.
It's called Rocks for Joy, which means Dance for Joy.
Okay.
And it's about health and wellness and living a happy life.
R-O-C-K-S, Rocks for Joy?
R-A-Q-S, which is the Arabic word for dance.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. So like belly dancing, we actually call it Rakshaki. Yeah. So it's Dance of the East. But so, yeah, I've been doing this cool TV show thing, and we just about finished with it.
You're finished with the first season? Or how does this work?
Yeah. We just finished the 12th episode this last weekend. And we're going to actually do a bonus 13 episode, which is going to be a Huffley, which is like a belly dance show. So it's going to have a live band and a whole bunch of belly dancers from the Midwest are going to be dancing there in the Eastern.
Now, do you have a season ending cliffhanger that'll get you renewed for the second year?
You know, we're actually talking about that I might end up becoming the host of the show.
Oh, cool.
At this point, I was the surprise belly dance instructor for a lot of guests and then got to perform after they were interviewed. And so if it goes really well, season two, I might actually become the host of the show, which is pretty awesome.
So it's broadcast in, you said, India and where?
Egypt.
And Egypt.
Egypt,
okay. And,
yeah.
And how is that viewed over there?
It's viewed really well. How is it viewed?
Yeah, primetime network television right after Egyptian Friends.
You know, I don't know for sure. I have to ask the lady who's doing it.
Was it on YouTube? So, where can us?
It's not anywhere right now. We just finished filming it and they are finishing the development and then
post-production and all.
Right.
That.
Right. And then, we have the backers have to look at it and approve it before, because it's being paid for by these people in these other countries. They're paying for it to go on.
Now, is it like a talk show? Do you have segments? I'm obviously there's some dancing segments involved. Is there like a couch?
Yes.
You have a monologue?
Yeah.
Is there a band?
A dance-a-log.
It's a talk show where the hostess interviews people about their lifestyle. We have people, like there was one lady that is from India, and she's a public accountant, and that's what she does as a living. She has this 9-to-5 job behind a desk. And then she goes home, and out of her basement, she actually has a store where she sells this absolutely gorgeous Indian handmade jewelry and Indian saris and clothing and things like that that she sells to her community in Cleveland, Ohio, is where she's at. And then she takes all of the money that she makes, and she sends it to India to help some orphanages there. She sends them the money and donates it to them. And that's what she does on her free time. So she was one of the people that we interviewed. And then after we interview her, we surprise her with a belly dance lesson saying, hey, you know, this is something to do with being happy and keeping healthy. And then they're served some baklava, which is wonderful
good
dessert,
yes.
And some Turkish coffee. And they say, we have one more surprise for you. And they pull the curtains back and they get an actual performance. So, and different belly dancers are involved with this, but I've done about half of the season one now.
Where did this idea come from?
Well, the lady that's doing it, her name is Mazahar David, and she's Lebanese born, but she lives here in the United States. And she actually produces a lot of these more low-key television shows that you'd get on, like, what is it, EKU? No, that's
sure.
not it.
KET?
KET, there
yeah,
you go.
Sure.
Public
access.
Right, exactly. The different public access television shows and things like that. She's produced quite a few different types of talk shows and reality shows and things. And so this is her next little baby that she's She's bundled up and is creating.
Did you enjoy it? Was it a fun process?
It was a ton of fun. It was a ton of fun. And I actually got to help a couple of times with standing backstage and directing, which was really great because the director got sick for a portion of the time while I was working. So I got to yell, cut!
And, oh, very good.
You know,
that's fun.
We have to retake that one. And you stumbled while you were talking. So it was neat. It was definitely a different experience for me.
Film school graduate. It is so much fun yelling action and cut, is it not?
Oh, it's awesome.
So much power.
You're like a god backstage.
Oh, yeah.
Total control. Like, no,
everybody listens to you.
I didn't like that. Your hair was out of place. And, you know. So it was cool. It was something different for sure.
All right, that's cool. And it was in English, and was it dubbed or?
It was all done in English.
Okay.
You know, I mean, English is a language that's spoken really just about all over the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it'll go over well that way.
I always forget about that. I feel like I ask that question a lot. I have a friend that's from Greece, and it's like, man, did you? If I go to Greece, will I understand anything? It's like everybody speaks English everywhere.
Yeah.
And now, you know.
Just be nice because they think of us as, you know, we're the boorish American tourists coming in with our cargo shorts and our cameras. And just just being rude and stupid. So, just be nice.
So learn Mustang GT.
Learn hello. Learn goodbye. Learn please. Learn thank you.
Learn bathroom.
In the home language of that country that you visit. That's important because it makes them feel good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's all you got to do.
Yeah. And that coming from here where it's, you know, we're very...
people barely speak English as it is.
For sure. Right. It's a strange concept, right? That around the globe, so many people would be...
I think that stops a lot of people from traveling. They worry about sort of language barrier and stuff like that. But you now you've got a phone app, hopefully. You speak into the app. The app spews it out. Just like a Douglas Adams book, and you're ready to go. Hmm.
I wonder if that translates like Google translates, though, because that's pretty darn bad.
I imagine they'll get it. They'll get it. Just something like... Where bathroom, please.
Yeah, and
that'll be good enough.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's funny you bring up that translate because I've seen a few of these devices that, and there are probably apps on your phone too that will very successfully, and it's obviously software that's getting honed all the time. Like, you know, it's you speak into it, and out comes the not a translation, but actual speech. From your phone.
Yes. Yes.
Which is incredible, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You think about how many barriers we have in business and politics just based on the inability to communicate effectively, right?
Sure. Like,
you have to get translators often. I know we're saying that there, you know, people are speaking English all over the world, but I'm sure that that's still not over 50% of developed nations.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that's kind of a novelty in school. I mean, I learned algebra, but I don't know.
I barely remember. I would need
you
a refresher.
You can't speak algebra?
No, I can't speak algebra.
So the next thing Google Translator needs to do is help with your relationship and communication that way.
Yeah.
So, what did she really mean when she said that? Yeah.
Well, circling back around, Sophia, you said you've been traveling quite a bit. Is that you said that? Did you?
Yes,
not?
I did. Yes, I did.
Guys, hoping I didn't forget. Where have you been traveling to?
We went up to Cleveland. That was this just before Thanksgiving.
Okay. People are happy up there these
weekend.
Days.
Oh yeah, Cleveland is a big city. It's kind of scary after being around Lexington for such a long time and then going up to Cleveland. And
I don't know. I like Cleveland a lot. I've been up there.
It's very industrial, right?
It is. It's really neat. It's a neat city, but we took this drive. We had to go from, we were staying in Jefferson because the TV station or the program was renting a house to shoot out of there, and they made their studio space with the couch and all that stuff and a house there in Jefferson. So we were staying in Jefferson, and I had to drive an hour from Jefferson to get to Cleveland to do like a festival that they were having in Cleveland at City Hall. They celebrated Lebanon Day on Monday of last week. And so I went there to dance, but so we had to take this hour long drive, and we went off of the highway to go try to find a place to print up some flyers and, you know, propaganda that I could pass out while I was there. Sure. And the neighborhoods, excuse me, the neighborhoods that our GPS was taking us through went from stunningly amazing architecture,
sure,
to terrifyingly dangerous,
oh yeah,
broken, sure, down places that actually had the same architecture but hadn't been kept up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that's what we went through, the back roads of
yeah, the you see Cleveland, every different economic strata, and also yeah, different, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was really neat though. It was really neat going through the city there and, mm-hmm, and doing all that. And then we did find our, eventually found a place to make our prints and then crept back onto the highway again. But yeah, so we went there and I danced for the mayor of Cleveland. Which,
wow,
was cool.
Not many people can say that.
I know. I'm going to be saying that for a while. But it was a Lebanon Day celebration, and it was a whole bunch of Lebanese people and all of their friends and family and, you know, many different nationalities of people there. And they were celebrating 73rd anniversary of their Independence Day.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. You're just very go, go, go all over the place with,
yeah,
with your belly dance, aren't you?
Yeah.
What is it, Rock,
yeah,
Shara?
Rock Sharkey.
Rock Sharkey.
Rock Sharkey. Okay. Yeah. It's RAQS and then SHARQI.
Okay.
You know, which that's the phonetic spelling of it, because if you take Egyptian, you can't really translate it into the English language that easily.
And we're back to translation.
For more information about the event, go to Arabesque Lex. That's ARABESQUELEX.com. Or the nest. I'm not going to get that one.
You just can't say nest.
Well, it's Lexington and
Lexington.org.
The Nest Lexington.
So why was this venue chosen, Parlay Social, this year? Is this the first time you've had it?
This is the very first time we've done it at Parlay Social. From a show producer's point of view, because I do a lot of belly dance shows in different places, it is a nightmare. Parlay Social has opened their doors to us, which is a really, really wonderful thing to do. We tried a lot of different places, and the thing was is that we were going at this so late in the year, trying to figure out where to do it, that a lot of the places weren't available. We used to go to Natasha's Bistro. That was our regular place for quite a few years, and unfortunately Natasha's closed,
yeah, yeah,
and they were a great venue to do it at. Parlay Social will be wonderful for the audience, but the dancers are going to have a real hard time. So I hope the audience appreciates us, because like our changing room is like down these really, really narrow, tiny, like, I don't know, they're like 5-inch wide stairs going down into the basement. And they've given us a corner near like the kegs of beer that are on show, and we're putting a curtain up so that we can have privacy. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I've had to find new ways to change how we're going to do the show program to make it easier for the dancers to do less costume changes and everything. I don't know exactly what we're going to have to raffle, because they're the nonprofit, so they can do that legally.
Sure.
So they're going to be getting together baskets or things like that we will have available. It'll either be raffles or it'll be silent auction, but I think raffles the easiest way to run with it. And then the toy drive is for the thing that they do every year called the Reindeer Express. So, I mean, people can get involved with the Reindeer Express themselves. Like right now you find the nest, and they have, I think they have like over 800 children, which is the largest amount of children that they have ever provided for before for Christmas this year. So if Christmas is a big deal to you and you're going out shopping for your own kids, you can pick up gifts for children under the age of 5 or wrapping paper, and you can bring it with you when you come to Shimmy, and they will pick it up and bring it for their Reindeer Express. Or if you're not coming to Shimmy, I think they have other places that you can drop it off as well as the nest.
What else is going on with Arabesque in the coming months?
We have our annual open house coming up. It's January 7th. It's at Arabesque World Dance at the studio. And they need to go to the website to get the schedule because I can't remember what it is. But we're going to have free classes. So it's an event for people to come out and get to try belly dance without having to sign any sort of contracts or anything like that, or ever come back again if they don't want to. But so we're going to have belly dance classes. We're going to have the Middle Eastern hand drumming classes, yoga. We're going to have some performance demonstrations. We have door prizes and stuff like that, and it's all free.
It's a great sampling of all the different types of classes that
yes,
you have.
Yes, exactly. It's and a sampling. So, and that's January 7th.
Okay, fantastic. And you also participate in every instance of the gallery hop as well, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we've gone overboard on it, and it seems like every single gallery hop, we have to, like, make it bigger and better. So I don't know what's going to happen in 2020 for me. I don't know. I'm going to bring Elvis back to life or something, but we do the gallery hop. It starts in January and it's every other month, the third Friday, and we do gallery hop every single time at Arabesque. We always have some sort of performing art going on, whether it's, well, actually we always have dance, but sometimes we have live music as well as the dancers. We have poetry readings. We had a lady do Carnatic Indian singing, which was really, really cool.
Carnatic,
yes.
Carnatic.
What does that mean?
So it's actually like a, it's, oh gosh, how do I explain it? it's a religious and spiritual and poetic style of singing that is singing stories made up about their saints. And it was really cool. But anyway, so we the gallery hop, we always have this live performance going on. And as well as live performance, we always have some sort of artist, their work on display there. We try to find local artists that are in our area that maybe aren't well known, but have really cool stuff. We've had college students come in. We've had people in their 60s that have been doing art for many, many years, but you say their name and people are like, who? And they come in, and so they display their art while we're doing the live performances. And sometimes we actually have artists there, like painting or drawing during the performances. So we have this one gentleman, his name is Mike Burrell, and he comes in and he draws with pastels. While the dancers are dancing, he draws the dancers.
Wow.
And he does amazing stuff. So he comes pretty regularly, every couple of hops. So it's a really neat experience. It's fun.
Now, if somebody is thinking about taking belly dancing lessons, but they have a bad knee, bad ankle, do you have beginner, slow?
We have startup? Very, very slow classes. Oh, we call good. Them the intro to belly dance classes. Good. And the intro classes, I tell people if you have two left feet, if you feel like you have no rhythm, if you maybe have some sort of infirmity that makes you not be able to do regular exercise, it's a great class. The wonderful thing about belly dance is you can have any type of body. You can be any age, and you can find your little niche that you can do the belly dancing. So you don't have to do the like really crazy athletic stuff that like maybe if you Google belly dance competitions,
right.
It's amazing what these people do. I can't do it, and I've been dancing for 17 years almost. But yeah, I mean, if I have people that have muscular sclerosis that come to my classes, I have people that have had back surgery or knee surgery and they come to the classes. It's really therapeutic you as long as you don't push yourself past your limits.
And what kind of attire does somebody need for that?
We just do exercise clothes.
Yeah.
You know, I used to go in and go full out belly dancer regalia when I first started dancing.
So you don't have to have that to come.
You don't
have to have the regalia.
No. Actually, it's better for the teachers to be able to see what's going on with like your knees and your belly and everything when you're dancing. So like yoga pants and a t-shirt are awesome. Yeah. And we dance barefoot the majority of the time.
Oh, cool.
So you don't even have to like invest in shoes.
All right. Well, you can check out what they do on Friday, December 9th at Parlay Social for Shimmy 2016 from 5 to 8, a belly dance show featuring local and regional performers, a raffle, and a toy drive to support the Nest Women's, Children's, and Families Center. Percentage of the proceeds from food and drink sales go to the Nest. For more information, go to bated breath. ArabesqueLex.com, ArabesqueLex.com, or thenestlexington.org. Thank you, Sophia, for coming and talking to us again.
He said nest.
I made it. I made it. Third time's a charm.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll be right back on Bluegrass Bios. This is Lexington Community Radio.
Do you want to help Lexington Community Radio in a fast and easy way? You can go to Kroger.com to register to have your Kroger Rewards card benefits go to Lexington Community Radio. On the site, under Community Rewards, choose Lexington Community Radio as your rewards recipient and start giving towards true community radio today. Lexington Community Radio appreciates your support.
Hello, this is Sarah Wiley Van Meter from the LCR Board of Directors, and you're listening to WLXU 93.9 LPFM, Lexington Community Radio.
We're back on Bluegrass Bios, wrapping up the first hour on this Friday. It's always nice to have repeat guests.
Yes, I enjoy having them.
Isn't that nice? Because yeah, you kind of get the what do you call it?
Well, we get into the weeds a little bit more, and you know I like that. I like the specifics.
For sure. We don't have to go through a whole lot of bio. It's more like, it's the icebreaker part is already out of the way, I guess.
And they've done it before. And we have a lot of people on the show. They've never been on the radio before. They've never been on television before. Now they're seasoned veterans, and they know us, and they know we're not going to edit their interview and make them look silly.
Sure.
So, yeah, we got a lot of that.
To that end, you can tweet the show at Bluegrass Bios if you have any guest suggestions, which are always
sure.
Welcome.
And we're on Facebook, and we're on iTunes.
We're on Instagram.
We are on Instagram.
All of those things have been wholly neglected. I would just say, if you have anything for us, just go to Twitter. That's the only sort of social media that I even use anymore.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it's cool. Speaking of, let me ask you, what do you think about some upcoming guests? Because
Who we could have on?
Yeah.
Well, I was like having the Herald Leader people on.
Sure.
And yeah, I'm thinking, holidays are so busy. You know, I'm still moving my mom out of her house.
You're right.
And that's exhausting. I'm the only person in that scenario who can walk up and down steps and carry heavy boxes.
Yeah.
And take out the trash. And boy, is there a lot of trash.
Yeah.
A ton of trash.
I feel so like, what do you think that our weak spot is as far as guests? Because I feel like we have pretty good, considering the nature of the show, right? Which is this generalist type interview deal.
Sure.
I feel like we try to cover a lot of bases. We do lots of nonprofits, and we've been doing a lot of event type stuff recently.
I think we could do better with news and public affairs, and
I certainly could.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about
more public safety stuff, which we've done a lot of in the past. We actually got tired of doing that in the past, so maybe come full circle back around on that.
Yeah.
Especially winter safety. You got the people with their generators. You got people with the heaters.
Yeah.
You need your car safety in case your car breaks. Plan on your car breaking down in the middle of a snowstorm and don't get caught without a jacket and without a blanket and stuff.
Yeah.
And all that.
Those are all the fun shows.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for the 1 o'clock hour when Chuck C will come in and replace me. They're going to be talking to Janie Welker. She, the curator of collections and exhibitions at UK Art Museum. And then at the 1:30, Griffin Van Meter, he's the president of the No Lie, that's North Limestone Community Development Corps. Ben will be staying here with you, but
I'll be here.
Chinese Steel is not going anywhere.
No, I think we gotta go back to Benjineer until I think of a new nickname. One's no longer topical.
I like Chinese Steel. That's you. you're cheap and you're unpaid. And that's And you're,
always here.
There's probably a racist element to that, isn't there?
All right. Possibly.
All right, we can set that one aside. Benjineer will remain with you through the hour. Enjoy your weekend, Lexington. I'm out.
Supermercado Las Norteñas here in Lexington offers Mexican and Latin American products. They also offer cell phone credit services like Bus Revolution. Supermercado Las Norteñas also offers fresh fruits and vegetables as well as a variety of meats. They are located at 158 East New Circle Road here in Lexington and are open every day from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. For more information, you can call 859-368-0800. Lexington Community Radio thanks Supermercado Las Norteñas for supporting True Community Radio.
Hey y'all, it's your girl Shayna. Want to discuss topics within our community? Well, it's as simple as tuning into What Shayna Say every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on WLXU 93.9. Also, I want to hear from you. So please call in and voice your opinions or concerns. And if you can't call in, just snap me at @What_Shayna_Says with the Nets. Don't forget, every Tuesday at 10 a.m., What Shayna Say.
This programming is brought to you by La Voz, informing to strengthen Kentucky's Latino community. La Voz of Kentucky, Lexington's all-Spanish newspaper, is committed to bringing you the latest news in immigration, sports, health, and culture of the Bluegrass region, according to the immigrant experience. For more information, call 859-621-2106 or visit www.lavozky.com.
In a society that is so caught up in the hustle and bustle of everyday life, the Good Giving Challenge is an opportunity for people to engage in the good that is all around them. A partnership between the Bluegrass Community Foundation and Smiley Pete Publishing, this challenge has now gone on for 5 years, last year raising $1.34 million for 114 nonprofit partner organizations in central and eastern Kentucky. The Good Giving Challenge is an online campaign, an easy and fun way to give to the causes that are important to you. Because of support from the Bluegrass Community Foundation and other donors, current nonprofit participants in the Good Giving Challenge, such as Lexington Community Radio, Heritage Hospice, God's Pantry Food Bank, and The Nest, can compete for $5,000 endowment prizes. The Good Giving Challenge will take place from November 29th to December 31st. This is a great time to give to a cause that's close to your heart. You're listening to Lexington Community Radio.
Tune in to Urban Conversations
every Monday and Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. on 93.9 WLXU.
Come sit in the lounge with us. I'm your host, Janice.
And I'm your host, Future, where your voice matters.
Any questions?
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU, LPFM, Lexington, Kentucky, here in Lexington Community Radio, coming to you from the heart of the Bluegrass region here in the Steam Academy up on 6th Street on the north side of Lexington, Kentucky.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's right. All that information is verified and correct. I'm Chuck.
I'm Ben.
And we'll be with you here for the next hour and a half until 2 o'clock, bringing you some interviews with people doing cool stuff here in Kentucky, doing that good work.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah.
How was your week, Chuck?
It was pretty good. How about you, Ben?
I did all right. We recorded a show on Wednesday.
That's good. It's half the battle.
Still moving.
Yeah.
Moving stuff around.
Still trucking.
A lot of boxes. A lot of going up and downstairs.
You know, today was the first frost.
Oh, yeah. Do you have to? Yeah, this is the first scraping of this car scraping mm-hmm. of the season.
See, luckily,
to get that out.
Luckily, I didn't leave the house until a little bit after, so the sun took care of that.
I hate you.
But
no, here's what
we're off to a great start.
But here's what you do. You have to have, I give this advice to everybody, you have to have two ice scrapers in your car, and you keep one kind of hidden. So if you have somebody you're driving with and they say, oh, you know, I'd get out and help you if you had a second scraper, you go,
oh, yeah.
Well, good for you. Hey, yeah. Check this out. Two scrapers.
Nice.
And also, I think it was 2 years ago, I was using one morning, and it broke.
Oh, man.
It totally broke. I was about half done. So it was kind of a hectic. It was the windshield. It was a windshield wiper fluid kind of morning.
Oh,
I just had to, do that and hope that the wiper fluid didn't frost over the front windshield.
Let's hope that the ice and the snow, stays at bay for a little bit. But it is Kentucky weather.
Snow is fine. Ice is no more ice storms with the frozen branches and power lines, and we have to chop down half our trees and stuff like that. That's so that's true. Fine.
But you snow know, is fine. That's what we do here at the radio.
We chop down the trees of ignorance.
We let people know if a tree has fallen down. But I do like where you're going with that metaphor, man.
Yeah, we are the ones that hear the tree fall.
Yeah, we're like an ice storm against ignorance.
There's never no one to hear the tree fall because we're always there to hear it.
It's true. And we will let you know if there's a tree down in the middle of the road. That's what local radio is all about.
Cool.
But I will digress, though. an icy digression. Today in the studio, we have some guests with us here. What's going on, guys?
Nothing much.
Yeah, excited to be here. Yeah.
Sweet. So with us, do you all want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, let's go around the room.
My name is Savon Gray. I'm a journalism junior at the University of Kentucky. I'm a programming intern at UK's Martha King Center. And yeah.
And he also doesn't know that ladies go first. But that's okay.
We're still working. You sat in the middle. I got to give him a ball.
Give him a Mogan on that one.
Excuse me.
But my name is Destiny Witherspoon, and I'm also a junior journalism major at the university, and I'm also a programming intern at the Martin Luther King Center, and I'm excited to be here.
Oh, great.
And my name is Khalil Baker. I'm the director of the Martin Luther King Center. I kind of hate saying I'm director, but...
He's awesome.
That's great. Well, thank you all very much for coming in, and we really appreciate it. We want to talk a little bit about UK's MLK Center here and kind of what you all are doing over on campus. I guess at first, can you all tell us a little bit about the history of the MLK Center and kind of how it got started and mm-hmm. where it is now?
So Martin Luther King Center, we're actually coming up on our 30-year anniversary, which is exciting. So back in 1997, the Martin Luther King Center was started, and it was started with the realization of, you know, UK is a predominantly and historically white college university. So often, you know, students that don't necessarily fit in that dominant culture have different issues that are at bay when transitioning into college and succeeding at college. So it was created to have a safe space and do programming and work that has focus on those students as far as what helps promote their success and provides a sense of belonging for those students, the underrepresented students.
That's great. And, you know, such a vital cause, absolutely, to, you know, really represent everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess for folks that don't know, where is the MLK Center located right now? And where will it be located once the renovations are done?
Currently, right now, we're in what I have called the dark ages of the King Center. And only because we're displaced right now mm-hmm. with the building of the new Student Center, which is going to be awesome. But right now we're on the third floor of Blazer Dining, and it's called Blazer Dining because now we have another Blazer Hall, so we can't have two Blazer Halls.
Mm.
So.
Yeah,
it's confusing to package deliveries, especially.
Yeah,
and pizza deliveries. We've had food delivered to the dorm instead of the office. But what's coming? We're gonna be in the heart of the new Student Center. What I tell folks, what I describe to folks as far as the new place we're going to be in a new Student Center, one square footage is three times the size of what it was in the old Student Center. Wow. As well, it is, as far as I know, and I'm on a steering committee for the development of the new Student Center, it's the only office in the building. There's four main corridors that run through the building. All four corridors touch this office. We're going to be in the heart of the building. What's also interesting about where we're going to be in the new Student Center, Dr. Cavalludo shared this with me in a conversation, his vision for the Martin Luther King Center is going to be located in a place that it connects with the front door of the building, which connects with Martin Luther King Drive, mm-hmm. which goes all the way up here to the East End. Mm-hmm. And so in some ways it's symbolic of being a road and being a connection to that, to this community, in a way that's pretty amazing.
That's great. That's awesome. Very visionary. And it's great to see UK, you know, taking a priority on putting it right in the center of everything.
Yeah.
I guess that leads me to my next question. You know, how does the MLK Center not only reach out to the UK community, but also to just the Lexington community as a whole?
I think, and it's a learning. I've been in this position 3 years now, going on 3 years. So a lot of what we'll do flyering. We'll go to barbershops. We'll go to beauty salons, things like that. We just did that. Had a very interesting one in getting ready for the. Was that Bobby? Yeah, that was Bobby Seale, Sean King. So we try and promote it that way. But when you reached out to me, I was like, hey, this is another way. Let's connect with the community. Because one of the things we do at the King Center, our goal, coming from my experience, I attended Berea College for my undergrad, and everything we did on campus was free. So what I've tried to do with the King Center, my goal with the King Center has been everything is free to students, free and open to the students and community, and faculty and staff and anyone else, of course. Which we saw with our biggest event since I've been there was the event where we had Bobby Seale, one of the original founding members of the Black Panther Party, and Sean King. And it was amazing the turnout and the connection that we had as far as our campus community, but the larger community. But also we had folks from Columbus, Cincinnati, Louisville, and somewhere in Tennessee, I'm not sure, that also came to that event. So
yeah, well, I mean, I think that was such a tremendous and rare opportunity to really see, you know, two generations of activists come together and to have that discussion and talk about, you know, what's been done, what is happening, and what needs to be done in the future. Can you talk a little bit about how that event kind of came about? I know that Sean King is from Versailles and has a lot of Kentucky ties, but...
Interestingly enough, and it's great that Savon is sitting here, Savon had the original idea for a different program we did last semester to bring Sean King. And we're real big about taking the lead from our students as far as a lot of the work that we do. But it was funny. David Luke, who's the assistant director at the King Center, he and I were having a conversation back in, I guess it was March, right before Sean King came. And we had both saw, I think it was KET, had a special documentary on the Black Panther Party. And in that, we saw that Bobby Seale was still speaking. And we were like, man, for our combo series is where we put two people on stage to have a conversation, sort of a fishbowl conversation that we all get to observe and then engage with. And we were like, man, wouldn't it be amazing if we brought Bobby Seale and Sean King and put them on stage together? And it was one of those hypothetical, it would be great. It'll never happen, but
yeah,
wouldn't it be nice? And we just reached out to Bobby Seale, who answers his own phones, answers his emails.
That's great.
Like, he's so down to earth. And then Sean King, we connected with some folks with the Black Lives Matter movement in Louisville, who we know personally. And they helped us make that connection to him. And again, they were just so willing to just jump on board with the idea.
Yeah, well, two people who are no doubt close to the earth and just down to earth people.
And another thing I'll say interesting about that was they had never met each other. We introduced them.
That's crazy.
To each other. And so just real quick, I try not to talk much.
Sorry.
But I was so excited about that event. So you asking about that just brings out this excitement in me.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget talking to the two of them. It was a 10 o'clock. It was a 10 p.m. conference call I had with the two of them where I got to introduce them to each other because I had talked with both of them separately. And it was amazing. And, like, I can't even think of a better word for it, but just to make that introduction and see them build off each other.
What were some of the things that the older folks had to teach you that maybe you didn't realize before that you found helpful?
I think probably the most thing, and he talked about this that night, was how intentional he was about everything that they did. Like, it was like down to every specific detail.
So just attention to detail and going into specifics and planning. And
one thing that I learned from him talking was, like, before they would go about any move or before any protest or we're going to go here and picket or do anything, they would know every law that they had that they were going to go up against, so that, and they would go to court and really basically represent themselves and get off because they knew everything to a T to that point to where they were ready. And that was crazy to me. I didn't think it was that organized and prepared like that, but...
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and I think for me the coolest part of that was hearing Bobby Seale talk about being influenced by MLK against the what is it, the bread company.
Yeah, Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread, yeah.
So no. We're going to make Wonder Bread, wonder where the Wonder Bread, wonder where the money went.
Yeah, exactly. And Bobby Seale said that that was the point where he decided he wanted to be an activist. Mm-hmm. And then to hear Sean King talk about hearing Bobby Seale and deciding at that point that's when he wanted to be an activist. So I thought it was amazing to kind of see that trajectory of influence and hear them discuss that.
And one thing for me was that I thought it was a big deal when he was saying, you know, he really wasn't too badly affected by the things going on. You know, he had some privilege. He had a job. And, you know, I think a lot of times,
I was just saying he was an engineer.
Yeah, he was an engineer, right. So he didn't have to go through as many struggles as the other, African Americans at that time, but he still felt it important to organize and to come and be a leader and have multiple leaders in different areas to do that. And I think that's kind of like what me and Savon try to do with our programming when we go out there, you know. And we have programs that basically just open it up for dialogue for people to come in from the community and from, you know, in UK. We don't just want it to be like, oh, this is what's happening. Yeah, we already know. We want people that maybe aren't affected by it, but are still interested and still want to help and see that it is a problem. Mm-hmm. We want those people to come as well and, you know, really just find a way for all of us to work together, especially within the Lexington community.
So how can somebody who's listening right now get involved? Is there a website they can go to, a phone number they can call, a Facebook page they can go to, all that stuff?
Well, we have a Facebook page. What is it? But our Twitter and Instagram are UK_MLK Center, and just look us up on Facebook.
And that's a good way for somebody to say, you know, I'm interested in this. Where do I go? Where do I sign up? Stuff like that. And you guys get back to them?
Or? For most of our events, we don't have really sign-ups. They're just, you'll just get information about them, like our soup and substance events or the MLK vigil. You just show up. Like, there's no sign-ups. Or you sign in to the event, but you don't have to make any reservations or anything.
And where can somebody find, like, a list of events?
If you go to our Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, and our Facebook is UK Martin Luther King Center.
UK Martin Luther King Center.
At the beginning of each semester, we put up our list of all our programs going on that semester. But also, if folks get on our listserv, and they can email us or call the office. The office number is 257-4130. I don't call it all. Or they can email, kahlil.baker@uky.edu. And if they want to get on our listserv, every Monday we send out one email that has all our upcoming events for that week and, you know, the couple weeks going forward, as well as other things that we hear about on campus or in the community that we think will be of interest.
What do you have coming up here shortly that people can get involved with? December, January, February?
Well, December, it's finals, and we're kind of wrapping this on up. Yeah, we're stressed just a little bit. But we definitely do have more great programs coming next semester, and our first one would be the Martin Luther King Vigil that we have every year. And so it's basically just like a march around the campus, and we have different scenes that portray some issue in, you know, our society that we want to expose people to. And so this year it is on the criminal justice system. And so it's a lot of different scenes because a lot of people see, you know, police brutality, but they don't see how this is happening. They don't see, you know, what's happening in the court systems and how we're even we're not accurately represented in the justice system and things like that. So it's going to be really great, really powerful. It will probably be cold, but we do feed you at the end.
a lot of great food.
Yes, most of our events have a lot of great food. But that is actually going to be January 19th. It's going to be, I think, the 19th, yes, the third Thursday of January, and it's going to be at 5:30 at the classroom building on UK's campus, so that's Whitehall, if you all know where that's at, and it should be really great. We're excited. We're always excited. It's really impactful. We have, like, a candle lit kind of ceremony as well, and then we come back, and we talk about solutions, because it's not enough just to have the conversation. We need to talk about solutions. Who can we contact? What representatives can we say, hey, we don't like this. How do we change it?
Yeah, that's a question I had. Do you have any contacts or communications with local police departments, local district attorneys, things like that? Have them speak and have them listen. Also.
Right.
I mean, everyone's invited. We would definitely encourage folks to come. What we often do when we have the soup and substance, it's led by the students. They take the lead on it. We work with them. We help them. We support them. but our students, our interns, take the lead on it, and they are amazing. They give me life in this work that I do. But we always try to bring in different professionals. So whether it's bringing in attorneys, we've had a judge come to be on an event. So what we do is we don't have panels, but we ask the professionals, we ask folks who have experience, have professional opinions or insight to be in the room to help with the conversation. So we're not just talking from opinion or we're not just talking from emotions. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I strongly encourage folks, the vigil happens every year and our students are very creative in finding ways to create optics around a different issue. So as you go on a vigil, as you go on the march, you get to see different components of the issues. Like she said, the focus this year is on a criminal justice system, and so much that is, mm-hmm. is entailed with that. And we don't give out the specifics of every scene that you'll see during the march because we like folks to get that when they get there. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty amazing every year.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you all so much for coming in. I know we kind of sprung this on you last minute, so really appreciate it. And it's so good to hear UK's MLK Center is alive and well and expanding, getting even better as we go. And I also love that direct connection to the community and to the North Side and East End.
Yeah.
You know, that's vital to make sure that everyone's unified. So we appreciate it. Well, thank you all for coming
in.
Thank you for having us.
Any last words y'all want to say?
One last thing I learned from Bobby Seale. When they got started, they were very young. Like, I don't know, when I imagine it, I imagine them being grown men who know what they're doing and then go out and accomplish their goals. The problem came up, they had to decide to act on it or not, and they didn't. They just made it work. So I feel like that's what me and Destiny try to do, and I feel like that's what we try to do through all of our programming at the King Center, is just take what we got and make it work right now.
That's awesome. Well, best of luck. And, you know, y'all always have a vehicle here at Lexington Community Radio.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Cool. So everybody check out the UK MLK Center. Can you hit us with that social media info one last time?
UK_MLK Center and UK Martin Luther King Center on Facebook.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, thank you all very much for coming in, and we'll be right back here. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on WLXU 93.9 FM.
Ready or not, yeah.